T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
To shock the world. And it's because, you know, you look at a game like last night, Steph Curry missed 11 of his last 12 shots. Now, that's not just the guy who's off. To me, that's a guy who's wearing down. And he's having to play too many minutes. I know he's not among the league leaders, but he's playing as many minutes now as he ever has in a season for the most part. The minutes he plays, I'm sorry, they're rugged minutes because he's focused on to such a degree. And I just don't – I get it. He's great and he's mesmerizing and there's things he can do that defy description and logic. But you keep defending – you keep throwing defenders at him game after game after game after game. And even if you get into a playoff series, I just don't know how he's going to be able to withstand it. Let's say the next month of basketball.
I don't disagree, guys, and I understand how you get there. But what he did when he went on that run is he quelled that noise for me. Dibs, I cannot wait for him to get that rest. You talked about it yesterday, how the games are spread out. So there won't be a back-to-back. But I can see a little fatigue. But once the lights, camera, action, and it's him and the gang against whoever, and I'm hoping it's, you know, the likes of Denver if they get, you know, a 7-game series, because I don't know what it is about that matchup. My point is, I think we're going to get like a loaf of bread, a fresh Steph Curry, and that's why I think whoever they play, the Warriors, should be scared.
Game or in a series?
Both.
Okay.
I was looking mainly towards the series. Like, you know, it ain't going to be back-to-back. It'll be every other day.
I got to say something. You've been very liberal, and I've allowed you to do this. You have basically assumed playoffs.
We don't get the series.
We get the one piece. Yeah, thanks. Steph will not let this team lose that game, and Draymond either. I've seen enough, Dibs. The guru jinx. It ain't that's a formality. They are getting that 7-game series. Curry knows it. He needs it and wants it.
Wow, a formality. So you're just rubber stamping. You're writing whoop tickets right now for them to just we'll go ahead and rubber stamp them, because they might leak to the 9 seed. If they're as tired as they looked, and if they're unable to play Smiley Geach and Mannion, and they're going with 8, and you're playing every other day, I don't think that you can rubber stamp anything, because if you're in the 9 spot, well, now you got to win 2 in a row. If you're 8, you can go 1-1, but 8's not necessarily a guarantee. It should be much more of a guarantee, but you gave it away in a spot where you had the Pelicans by the beak. You had him wrapped up, and you had a firm grasp of that beak. Yeah. No one would ever harm an animal, of course, on this very program, but you had him by the beak, and then thank you. Is that a pelican? Put the pelican on the table,
fly,
and then it flew away.
Maybe we'll get a sponsor, yeah. Hey, I got a preference. What my prediction with – I went 10. I'm assuming they got 10 when it's go time for the play-in game with Pascal and Lee. So with 8, I wouldn't put my stamp on it like that, Dibs. I definitely wouldn't. With 10, I'm assuming they'll have 10, Pascal and Lee, and then watch out.
All right. Nico's in Sacramento. Wants to talk Dubs. What's up, Nico? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, y'all. Y'all can hear me?
No Nico? Give me the kite.
No, he's there.
Man.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hear you. My bad. I'm a little sick, man. I don't know if y'all can hear me, but I'm a little sick of these Warriors, bro. I'm so sick and tired of this trash competition they playing, man. Really, up 10 points, man. Y'all can't win that. This all stems from the NBA draft, man, and that's real. I mean, can y'all be serious and tell me that Kevon Looney is the longest tenured Warrior behind, you know, Draymond, Steph, and Clay? Like, come on, man. How is that true? We can't draft anybody else that could stay on this team longer than Kevon Looney. This is ridiculous. This team is young. This team is garbage. And this team need help. And it's not going to come from free agency. It's not going to come from free agency. You got to build through the draft. And if you're choosing that high up and you're going to choose some dude from Spain or Europe, man, and hope that he pans out, it's not going to work, man. Just pick up a junior, sophomore, or senior from college that knows how to play the game and that has worked in a system before. This is getting old, and this is getting repetitive. And you know what we need to do is blow it all up. I'm sick and tired of it. I don't want to say rebuild, but that's what we need to do. We need to start from the ground up, man. This is done. Wow. This is garbage.
Thanks.
Call the fire trucks, Dibs. It's tidy. He burned it down.
They're 500, you know?
These are the Warriors. These are the Warriors. 500 don't cut it.
Well, it's not about the
record. They were 15-50 last year.
Right. To me, it's about where you are with the roster. Because as it sits right now, James Wiseman, his first season was a non-starter, and now he's gone at least probably until October minimum. Clay got better, and that's great, but you don't know what you're going to have. You're likely looking at 24-minute Clay instead of 36-minute Clay. That's the reality of the situation. Steph turns out to still be a pretty good little player, and Draymond is, you know, incredible some of the time. Other than that, Pascal, now we got injury questions. Loon is Loon. Jordan Poole is basically, I mean, he's not much. And other than that, okay, Juan Toscano-Anderson, great eighth or ninth man. Wiggins, maybe better than we thought. Oubre Jr. was a Titanic money sink. Hashtag Tom Hanks and Shelley Long with the money pit. Underrated 80s comedy. Thank you, Stein. Anyone that's throwing you a bone here.
Yeah. I love the young people.
Spadoni, sometimes I have to turn away from Goo and keep him involved. You're not helping. My point is, it's not about the record or making a run. It's where are we with this roster? To your point earlier, Steiny, who are you keeping?
Yeah, everybody's bumped up further than they should be. You know, Kent Bazemore right now, he's a ninth or tenth man. But he's a sixth man on the Golden State Warriors. And even
starting
a
right now.
At times. Jordan Poole, he's an eighth or ninth man. Maybe. Down the line. I don't even know if he's that right now. You know, Lee and Mulder and Toscano-Anderson, God love them. But they probably should be outside a rotation if it's a really good rotation. And they got to get better, and it's going to be hard for them to get better.
Let me ask you this, Donnie, real quick.
They just don't have any money. Yeah, they don't have any money.
For somebody driving around, and you touched on this earlier, and we love Bob, man. We love the FO of the Golden State Warriors. But when you talk about Mannion and Smiley Geach, why can't that be Bob? He's the one making that pick, right? Or are you saying it's a group effort? Because I'm looking at that like that has set this team back, man. It really has.
Well, I mean, honestly, you know what else has set this team back a little bit? Wiseman.
True.
You know, through no fault of his own, but Wiseman has not helped the team this year. And so, you know, the other thing that may be going, I mean, who is it, Bob Myers? It's absolutely Bob Myers. But I'm not convinced Bob Myers, you know, was selling Alan Smiley Geach to the ownership group or to Kirk Lacob or Joe. It feels like that's something that smells like the other way around. To me. But is it Myers at the end of the day? Yes, it's always going to be Myers at the end of the day.
And it makes me think about the Lynch-Shanahan quarterback conundrum. If Shanahan would have been pro Mac Jones and Lynch was really passionate, you know, about Lance, and if Shanahan would have, quote, gotten it wrong, if that would, you know, make a fissure, a crack in the dam, so to speak. So it's fascinating because Smiley Geach right now doesn't look like he's trending toward ever being a rotation piece, yet he's taking up a roster spot that you would desperately love to have a body in there.
Ooh, and when we see Wiseman again, I guarantee you, fellas, he won't be better than he was when he left, because he can't work on his game or his body until October. That's scary. Yeah.
Hey, Goo, let me ask this question. Remember before the year we talked a lot about it, you know, Steph, does he have something to prove? You know, let me ask you this. Do you think part of Steph Curry's legacy is on the line at this point?
No. And
okay. I'm going to tell you why it is on the other side. I'm going to tell you why Steph Curry and what he's done this year and what he will do is absolutely positively going to impact the way we remember him as a player.
Why?
Good or bad. That's right. His legacy still is not even close to finished. I'll tell you why.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Warriors lose a tough one last night. Giants lose a tough one last night in the second game of their doubleheader. I'm surprised, Goo, you haven't said, man, if that's a nine-inning game, they probably would have won. You got to like the seven innings. I like Legion baseball. You ever watch Legion baseball?
It's good. No, I played it, but I don't watch it. Yeah. Huh. Well, no, Stoney. Come on, it's big boy. MLB, nine innings. Everything was predicated on that. The Hall of Fame. I hate seven innings. I've watched games, Dibs, to where I go, oh, eighth inning. Oh, game's over. They're shaking hands. I forgot.
Joke.
This week.
Absolutely. Reminds me of not my last Legion doubleheader, but we were in the Marin County Championship, 13 years old, and playing at San Rafael. Drew Miller, left-handed pitcher, Stoney, had a good little move to first. Okay. I get on as I was wont to do. My dad's coaching with my brother Mikey 1.0. They pinch run me.
What?
Short, fat, and slow. It's my lot in life. So my man Eric Tepley gets on first. He gets picked off.
The Teppers.
We lose that game.
Choke artist.
Actually, so they had to beat us twice. So we come back in the nightcap, and I, of course, plucky little hitter that I was, I get on base again. The old man, he pinch runs for me a second time. It's Eric Tepley. He gets his lead. What do you think happens? What a move.
No.
Picks him off.
You know
Point
what?
Being,
oh, picks him off.
I bet it was a balk. I bet he balked, really.
Balk?
Yeah, no. Didn't get the call. Point being, it was Harry High School, seven-inning doubleheaders, and that's what it felt like last night.
No. All right. Anyway. Hey, I was thinking about this with Curry last night. Because everyone's like, oh, his legacy set in stone. The hell it is. The hell is legacy set in stone. How Steph Curry plays from this point on is going to have a lot to do with how he's remembered as a player. Absolutely. And here's the other thing. But here's the thing, Goo. He doesn't necessarily have to win another title. Here, and follow me here, all right?
Okay.
Who's my favorite player of all time?
Bird.
Okay. Think about some of the greatest plays Bird's ever made. Remember when he stole the ball against Isaiah Thomas?
Stolen by Bird.
They didn't win the title that year.
Okay.
They didn't win it. They lost. So remember when Bird and Dominique went mano a mano?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't win it that year. In fact, they got eliminated the round after that. And then remember real late in Bird's career when he got into it with Chuck Person on Indiana.
Rifle
and he hit his head on the floor. He left the game. He came back in, and he led the Celtics to victory. My point is this, is Steph Curry's going to do things from now until the day he retires that maybe we may have a memory of Steph Curry that hasn't been created yet. That'll be his biggest memory in his playing career. You know what I mean? So it's like everybody that says, oh, he's got to win another title. He's got to win another. No, he does not have to win a title. What he's got to do is continue to play. Like, What he has done this year has absolutely positively added to his legacy. Not subtracted, added. And anybody who's watched the Warriors this year knows that. And so it may not result in a title. It may only result in getting in as the seventh or eighth seed. But the stretch of games that he's had over 30 points, what he's done this year, it is absolutely going to be on his resume. And as far as I'm concerned, it is a resume booster.
No doubt.
It's not titles or nothing. That's one thing where I think we all fail.
I don't think it's titles or nothing, but when you start to add all of the arrows in the quiver that is Steph's career, one thing that we've all talked about is he changed the game. He changed the game. He did change the game. And in our game now, in our league, 120 points is the new 100. If you're not scoring a buck 20, you're not trying. And so as more teams are playing faster and relying on the three more, he didn't get passed by. He still is the best at doing what now everybody does. And that's to your point, Steiny, of that run of 11 straight games over 30 and the 62-point night, and he might lead our league in scoring amid all of these other guys who are playing just like him. And that becomes part of the legacy that, yeah, he changed the game, but as the game changed, it didn't pass him by.
And Dibs, I almost want to jump up with excitement. Because, Steiny, what Dib said is where I'm at. We talked about what was at stake for Steph Curry and the Jackals if it didn't go right. There was two scoreboards, the team's success and his success. But at 33 years old, with no Klay, no Kevin Durant, it's already cemented for me. This guy, he don't need to touch another trophy. I want him to. I would like to. But what he did during that stretch, passing up Kobe with the most 30-point games at this age, going through burger joints, five guys, four guys, three guys, off glass, I've added muscle. He's shown the world he can do it by himself still. And to me, I know you're going to call me crazy, guys, that superseded a chip. Mm. You look at this Warrior team and you think of help wanted signs in abandoned buildings or windows in job locales, because he's doing it with no help, Steiny.
Yeah.
It's over.
He's doing it.
Middle fingered everybody. Dibs.
Yeah, doing it in
so
and
you
out.
Agree with
and
me. Thank you.
He's doing it, and it's like a habit. It's like the habit for him. And, you know, he's the king of putting it up
you
off the bank.
It.
And he went by Wendy's and, you know, the Golden Arches as he teardrops from either side
convertible.
Of
yeah.
the rim. Yeah, we gotta touch all the burger joints.
He's fat.
We work our way through that.
Who's fat? Oh, man. Curry?
No.
It was Burke. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
but Steiny, I am agreeing with you. I hear you. I know where you're going, but what Dib said, I'm
so
just,
even though
it's yeah,
yeah.
It's
even though he's not likely to win another title, and the titles are probably done for the Golden State Warriors in Curry's lifetime, you know, it doesn't mean the next 3 to 5 years aren't going to be incredible. I mean, it really doesn't, and that's the thing. I mean, that's where I think Warrior fans have gotten spoiled. You know, this thing can end great even without the Warriors winning another title.
If he wins two or three, let's say he wins two or three scoring titles.
Exactly.
Let's say this is the new Steph Curry and this is the new Warriors, where, darn it, they're just going to be one player away from being one player away. And over the next, let's give Steph five more years, 410 regular season games. They go 205 and 205. And you win a couple playoff series here and there, but you don't sniff a chip. But he leads the league in scoring. Three of those 5 years, Goo. All of a sudden, his legacy now takes on additional layers like a croissant.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that. And I'll say this because you guys,
flaky.
It was provocative
good.
To me yesterday when you said the most important player outside of Curry. For me, for the rest of his career, it's not a player on the court. It's Bob Myers and Joe Lacob. And can they pull – not a rabbit – rabbits out of their hat to get this team out of what I deem a mess in order for this young man to hoist the trophies, Donnie.
See, and I don't think they can. And this is where Lacob is a victim of his own success, as far as I'm concerned. And he's a victim of his own enthusiasm and optimism. It's just not as easy as people think to keep this thing going. It's just not. I mean, Curry won a title 7 years ago. And you expect him to win as the best player on the team 10 years later or 8 or 9 years later? I mean, that just doesn't really happen unless you get an influx of players. And they don't really have a way to get an influx of players at this point. So I don't know what the future holds for the Warriors. I think
become fans of Minnesota and get them into that fourth or fifth pick. This draft apparently is deeper. If you add a couple of pieces, and obviously you don't want to add another Wiseman, not to disrespect him, but he's a project. You need to add somehow some turnkey guys, one guy at least. Yeah. If you could pick up two, Steiny, if you wind up picking, let's just say, 6th and 12th as a ballpark way to do it, all of a sudden now maybe you can add a couple pieces that get you from a 500 club to maybe you're a 6th seed instead by the end of the year if Clay comes back healthy. Then maybe, to Goo's point about making noise, maybe that becomes a make-some-noise group, in 12 months from now.
Yeah, What can we expect of Klay Thompson is a big question. If he's, is he 80? Can he be 80% of what he was? Can he be 90% of what he was? Is he going to be able to defend like he defended? Is he going to be able to defend the point guards that he used to defend? I mean,
ooh, boy.
I know, Tim.
A lot of good questions. Man. I'm going to borrow from a friend of the program, Dr. Nirav Pandya on Twitter. Sure. Who sent out something that studies show that the decrease in just minutes per game is about 30% in the year in a return from an ACL injury. So just taking a 30% reduction across the board on all Clay metrics. What? Well, now you're going from 21 a night to 15 points a night. You're going from 32 minutes a night down to about 24 a night. And so you start to see where the reasonable expectations lie for Klay Thompson. Now, April Klay is going to be different than October Klay. Hopefully, if everything goes as planned, maybe by the end of the year, he's, 80% of what he normally would be.
Yeah, and Boy.
It's becoming a habit.
Yeah,
we love you,
Tim. Boy.
No, you're right. I mean, so and Klay set the table. He set the table a month or so ago with all that dibs. I think he's expecting to be at least to start 2/3 of the player that he was. I mean, he basically acknowledged he's not coming back and playing 32 minutes in night one. He might only play 16 or 18. So then you start thinking about, well, can Klay get back to Klay 2 years from now? And here's the other thing I was thinking. I didn't think Steph Curry had this kind of year in him. Does he have another one in him next year? I mean, isn't he going to have to?
He can shoot until he's going to be 50, man.
But what if next year he drops by 10%? Yeah, I'm not saying he goes from 42% to 30. I'm just saying he goes from 100% to 90. I mean, man, they can't even afford to lose that 10% off Curry right now. So I do think the Warriors are in a little strange place right now, and I think this offseason is going to be about figuring out either how close they realistically are or let's start thinking about the next era. And I don't know what that means.
Where's your excitement level, 1 through 10, for both of you about this play-in game, which it looks like in a possible playoff series? I got to tell you, I'm juiced, man.
Yeah.
Shocker. I'm really excited to see if he can do what he did on that run, dibs, in the offs or even just a playing game.
I got it at a 4, honestly, because, maybe when it comes around, and that's me sitting here right now seeing what we saw last night. When it comes up, if they are in that spot, and it looks to be not a guarantee, but pretty certain that they're not going to climb to 6, and they most likely won't fade to 11, so let's just take it as a 95% certainty. Would you put that at 95%, Steiny, that they're in a play-in game at the very least right now?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
When that day comes, I'll be more excited. But right now, Goo, trying to be honest to you, my dear friend, and the audience.
I appreciate it.
I'm at like a 4, because even if they win it and they get into a series, well, then you're an overmatched team. I'll enjoy it when it gets there, but right now I'm just – This whole thing seems a little fraudulent.
Number four.
Yeah.
I think I'm with Dibs. Here's what I think is going to happen if they get into the play. They get into a play-in game, let's say at 8, and then they make the playoffs and they're the 8 seed and they play Utah. I think they're going to get beat in 4 or 5 games. But I also think it's going to be like the year the Celtics beat the Bulls 3-0, but Jordan had 63. You know, he had 49 in game one, 63 in game two. But, for the most part, teams win in basketball, not individuals.
See, I don't think the gap is that big, though. Even with Utah, and some could say out there, oh, you're disrespecting Utah. The fact that they haven't done it, Steiny, and they very
what
well
do you mean they haven't done it? They've been to the playoffs the last 4 years. They got to they won a round 3 years ago and 4 years ago. So they've had
but
some
like,
– what do you mean? Like, they've been to the playoffs
like yesterday,
more than
Kelly
Oubre.
They've
been to the playoffs more than Andrew Wiggins.
But offensively, when I asked you guys who was the second best player on Utah, that's a check in the Warriors column. Like, okay, it's Donovan Mitchell. You may say it's Gobert. They don't have that guy next to Mitchell.
About Mike Conley.
It's not that big a discrepancy to shut him down or stop him at this juncture in his career. And that bodes well to me for the Warriors being able to keep a guy like that from just sending him home in 4 games is where I'm going. Steiny?
Utah's way too complete a team for the Warriors to challenge.
We're going to find out.
I think.
I want too, Dibs. I want Utah.
Yeah, you got to get through a couple of hurdles first before you even think about Utah. Give me two. So you got to really take it one at a time. Obviously, you want a home game in the play-in. You want to get to 8. That way, it's only one play-in. Even if you happen to be the 8, you travel. You just need to win one game at that point. But after last night, maybe it's just the recency bias of it, but just hard to have long-term confidence in this group. Steph is still otherworldly. Draymond, 1 out of every 3 games, is the best stretch 4 in history. The other two, like last night, he was great. He was great, but not quite
make the free throw, Dibs.
That's
make the free throw if you flex.
Yeah,
that's a rule, Stein.
That's one of my things.
Make the free throw.
Yeah.
How about Jordan Clarkson?
He's good. He coming off the bench. I don't know if they got him starting now until Mitchell comes back. But
Jordan
he's a
Clarkson's
weapon.
Averaging 17 a game on the
okay.
What about Bojan Bogdanovic?
Oh boy.
See, he's good. He's one of those things to where it's like
no. He's only averaging 16 a game. He's only averaging 16.
I got you, Steiny. But he ain't. Those aren't killers. Those are good players. I'm talking about killers. I could see Oubre shutting down Bogdanovic. I could see Wiggins on Conley. Those are, I don't want to say light work. Those are things that I can live with. Steiny, Mitchell is a problem. But outside of that, I'm watching. And don't forget, the Warriors had success against Utah and Denver, and there's a reason for that. And I feel like it's Jokic and then the rest of the gang. And now it ain't Murray part of that gang. But Utah don't scare me, man. I hope we really get that if they win this play-in game or games.
Okay. I'm with you.
Put it in the cap.
Even though I'm not. I mean, I don't want to get into it. Hey, I forgot I was going to bring this up. It's something totally random. And it's something that's – I figured out one of the things that's absolutely wrong with the NBA. Should I throw it at you, Dibs?
Throw it.
Okay. Here's the problem. Here's a big problem with the NBA. And here's the example. LeBron James – whoever invented the play-in game should be fired. Luka Doncic does not want the play-in game. Draymond Green does not get motivated by the play-in game. You know why? You know why they don't want a play-in game? Because it's more pressure than they're used to. All right? Everything's a 7-game series right now. These guys who have built up big reputations in the NBA, they don't want a one and done. And the league, for the most part, doesn't want their players to experience the kind of pressure that they played under in high school and college. Why do you think the NBA doesn't have the one and one? Meaning you know,
yeah, I got
the one
got
and
the
one. Yeah,
the one, one and one. Why and do you think? Because they don't want their star players feeling more pressure over a foul shot than they do whether it's a two-shot foul or not. For God's sake, they created a rule where you couldn't foul a bad foul shooter because they don't want to put a bad foul shooter on the line because it might be too much pressure. These guys play seven-game series so they can see stuff coming. It's like they don't want one and done because, you know what? If the bottom line is if LeBron James is a seven seed and they lose two play-in games, that is a blemish. That's a big blemish. That's a bigger blemish than losing in an NBA final.
Yeah,
in
a, it's like in a pimple that way. You pop, and you probably shouldn't have popped it because it wasn't ready, and then now it's ingrown, and now it's dug in, and even your various oxys or your Clearasils or your proactives can't get to it.
Okay, Dibs.
Brian, listen to me. Talk and hear me much later.
Call us.
It's more than just a blemish, and you could carry it even further, guys, and you look at the star treatment from the refs where – if you're an established player, you get calls because the league wants its stars to be around to the end of the playoffs. They want their marquee attractions to be there because it's good for the advertisers. So it's not only that, but you can't play defense anymore because they want points. They don't want Rasheed Wallace and company winning 79-75 in the Eastern Conference semis. They want up and down, high flying. It's the same as baseball. It's the same as football. Except the NBA has done a much better job historically with its stars because they have a bigger impact.
Yeah, I
don't like it, man. And
what don't you
LeBron,
like?
The fact that the topper for umpteen years it's been one plays eight, and I just would like somebody to go to a chalkboard and tell me what this does for the NBA as a whole to have four participants battle it out. And then they're tired, Steiny, when they actually go play the real playoffs. We don't even know how the numbers are kept. Remember we had that, they count as an end game or whatever that mumbo jumbo was. I'm not saying I agree with LeBron and because I told you I took offense to that. But I just don't like part of the field, per se, having to duke it out while the others are resting. And then when whoever wins, go battle, go shock the world. And my question is, why? Why now? Why are you doing it now when this has been part, a staple of the league forever? Ratings are down, if you guys don't know, for the NBA. Is this supposed to be a ratings bonanza? I just don't know who's going to stop doing what they're doing and say, hey, what you doing tonight? We're going to watch that playing game. Who's playing? We don't know. It's 2 out of 3, 1 out of 2, we don't know. That ain't bringing, to me, more fans.
I don't care if it's bringing more fans. It's at least putting some semblance of urgency into a game. Everybody loves the NCAA tournament because it's one and done. It's like, but the NBA, for the most part, is afraid of that kind of thing. They don't like it. Why do you think, you know what, it's not just money that made the NBA go from the first round series going from best of three to best of seven. But because when you go from best of three to best of seven, guess what? It takes pressure off the favorite. It takes more pressure off the favorite. And we've created a league where we just keep lessening and lowering the stakes. The NBA, it's just
wow.
The stakes are just so low now. Okay, make the eight seed. I mean, here's the other thing. There'd be about five or six teams that would be giving up right now. But, and even the Warriors. You know what? The Warriors got to play. They got to play hard right now. And so 10 teams in each division are trying to – or in each conference are trying to play hard. I don't know. I just love the sense of urgency that the NBA is in it. And you know what? I do want to see Steph Curry in a one-and-done situation. I want to see LeBron James in a one-and-done situation because those games are different. Those games are they're more meaningful. They're more pressure-packed, and that's – I think the NBA needs way more of that rather than less of it. Too many of the games are exhibitions right now. They're not contests. All right. I got that off my chest. I I appreciate it. Wait, we're talking a little
bit
about...
Can we play the open at the close to Steiny Soapbox? Because
we
probably should have played the open before you went Soapbox. And then should we back... Should we flip it, invert it, Kyle? Yeah! That was an edition of Steiny Soapbox, brought to you by the Soapbox Derby, 1951. Steiny, back to you.
All right. When we come back... talked about the front office of the Golden State Warriors. Is there an issue with the front office of the San Francisco 49ers? Was there dissension before this pick of Trey Lance? We got to talk about it. On the other side, there's some interesting things out there, all sponsored by Workman Law. For certain employees, employers must pay premium pay for overtime work. If you feel you've not been properly paid for overtime, contact the Workman Law Firm for a free consultation, workmanlawpc.com. That's workmanlawpc.com.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we are going to get into the 49ers drafting of Trey Lance, but there's more information that's coming out, and maybe there was something going on behind the scenes that we didn't know about, but certainly worth discussing. Hey, you guys mind if I just real quick one more time get on my soapbox?
It's your show. It's our
would
show.
Love man, it. Would love
man.
It.
Okay. Yeah. I like more of it.
Friendly competition, a desire to win, enthusiasm that knows no bounds. That's the spirit of young America. From coast to coast, in everything from sandlots to stadiums, you'll find red-blooded American boys full of that old grit and determination that makes winners and champions.
All right, you guys aren't aware of this, but at the end of the last segment, I was looking at the phone lines to see if we had any calls, and there was a guy, I guess, named Jimmy Joe on the line.
Oh.
And the description of what he wanted to talk about was Steiny wants to see Steph Curry fail. And, you know, I said to Spadoni, get this guy, you know, I'm going to take this call. He said, well, he hung up. So, Jimmy Joe, I feel free to call back in because you're out of your freaking mind.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you what, Dibs, that pisses me off. Why would I want to see Steph Curry fail? First of all, what does Steph Curry failing even look like? What does it even look like, Dibs? Steph Curry failing.
Well, it looks like he doesn't get 50-40-90. It's more like 40-30-80. That's failing.
If I were invested in wanting to see Steph Curry fail, it's over. The ship has sailed. I got beat. Then I got beat like a drum, if that's really the way I felt, because this guy has had one of the most unbelievable careers of all time. And I used 10 minutes today in the first segment to talk about how even if Curry doesn't win another title, how so much of what he will do from this point on can further elevate his legacy by comparing him to other greats of the game who have had spectacular moments after they won their last title. The hell out of here. Steph Curry, has he ever failed in the NBA? And I'm dead serious. What's he failed at? He didn't win. He lost two finals? Yeah, he was on a team that lost two finals. He didn't fail. Hit the pike. Want to see Steph Curry fail.
I believe
beat it.
Tyreek Evans was Rookie of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. So
Tyreek.
Scoreboard. Two scoreboards.
Show
guard. Yeah. You know, and what kind of a sad, self-hating masochist would you have to be if you really rooted against the best player in the history of a franchise upon which you broadcast for the flagship station? So if Steph were to fail and the Warriors were to become largely irrelevant, what does that do for your business and your standing? So That's the part.
And you've done a sit down.
Steph Curry's been the best thing to happen in my career.
Right.
Tibbs, other than Lakeham, one of those two guys. Wow, I mean, seriously.
Thanks a lot, Snotty. Wow.
I mean, the bottom line is, if Lakeham doesn't buy the team, the Warriors probably toil in anonymity,
Excuse me.
Not good for any of us.
I'm sorry.
I'm not getting that.
I'll get it. Hello. Yeah. Seriously. I mean, it was like 10 years ago when you helped him. I'll try to tell him. All right, bro. Stay funny. Yeah, Dan Dibley was on the phone.
Right. Ooh, boy.
Oh, my God. I told you to put that on silent. You want me to
sorry,
get that?
No, I'll grab this one. Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Hello. Oh, hey, what's up, man? It's weird you called me from a different number. Huh. Yeah, aren't you on air right now? Yeah. No, for sure. I know. I would listen. Yeah. Yeah, okay, I'll let him know. Yeah. Thanks, man. All right, have a good show. See ya. That was Daryl the Guru Johnson. Give me a buzz.
I didn't even make the list. Go ahead, Snotty. Boy. You were saying. Yeah.
Want to get away?
What do I want to get away from?
From the fact that Steph Curry made you.
Yeah, right. We had
guy makes a three.
Right.
We carry you 20 hours a week. But, Steph, it's a three.
This is pleasant to you. Right.
Yeah, okay, you know what? Where were you guys in 2010 when I was flailing and then Joe Lacob came and bought the team and elevated it?
I was day drinking.
I was welcome to Carrington College of California. Where you
I was day drinking too, yeah. And I with a guy I think you know, Steiny.
Oh God, that's so funny. That's so funny.
Oh boy,
anyway. You got it off your chest. You feel good, Steiny. I know you feel a little lighter.
I'll tell you what. Here's the other thing. These Warrior fans. I'm going all in now. These Warrior fans that think I don't like Curry or whatever. You're just jealous. You're jealous that even though I can talk about the team like I talk about the team, I still got a good relationship with Lakeham, and I still got a good relationship with Curry. That's what drives those kind of people like Jimmy Joe out of their minds. Not out of their minds, but that's what bothers him. You got to understand, people. Warriors have made me, Dibs. They made me.
Yeah, after, right. I threw that I'm bone done. In 2011 and, Goo carried you for 5 years. But, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Done. Yeah, he had the Denzel on training day in the neighborhood at the end. Diz, go. We love
I'm King Kong.
Yeah, right. Everybody looking like, oh, man. We love you, Stein.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are like, what the hell is he talking?
Yeah,
okay.
It's a little bit of a different impact when he steps out of his electric vehicle and he's talking about how he's King Kong. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Jimmy Joe didn't say a word to me, and I want to knock him out. I just want
to find out. You said a word to him. How about that? You set the record straight.
All right. 49ers drafted Trey Lance, obviously, and depending on who you listen to, they liked him early. They liked him in the middle. They liked him late. But Michael Lombardi, and if you don't know who Michael Lombardi is, let me just give you a little background. He and Dan Dibley are pretty good friends. And here's how I'll introduce Mike Lombardi from the last time we had Michael Lombardi from The Athletic on the show. Take a look.
Well, if it is Mac Jones, he's available lower than three. So is this a precursor for a subsequent
do you
move
know that
back?
Mike,
if they go up to three.
I mean, are you reading these mocks? I mean, first of all, when has a mock been right? All these mocks have 75 receivers going in the top 10 picks. We just watched the Super Bowl where they couldn't block anybody. They have the best receiver in all of football, Tyreek Hill. They couldn't get him the ball. These mocks are so wrong, it's ridiculous.
Going by the eye test, Mike. I've seen Alabama quarterbacks come to the league and fail. What makes Mac Jones different than McElroy or the other guys?
McElroy was never a first-round pick. Come on. A.J. McCarron was a fifth-round pick. Nobody's talked about it. You could make this argument with Tua, but both players unsolicited say that this kid's better than Tua. I just don't know how you can sit in San Francisco and say, based on your knowledge of the National Football League and based on your knowledge of this draft, that Mac Jones, you could get him later. That makes no sense at all.
I forgot how good.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Man, I mean, there's a two-piece and then there's
fighting.
A 10-8 round. That's a 10-8 round for Lombardi. And I was on my heels. And I wouldn't say that we're good friends. I used to do radio in the morning with a guy who was good friends with Michael Lombardi. Okay. And so by proxy, we had him on a bunch. But, man, it turns out Mac Jones was available later in the first round. And maybe the eye test of a midday slap in the Bay, maybe he had it right as far as relative drafts and the mocks and all that. So, wow.
Come on.
Great job, Dibs.
Yeah, thank you. Is that Bob Marley, Redemption Song? This song of freedom is all I ever had?
Nice.
No woman, no cry.
All right, so that Michael Lombardi, he had a tweet yesterday that was very interesting. And I'm going to read it to you, and I'll just go ahead and respond. Okay. All right, this is from Michael Lombardi, and he was on a show yesterday. I'm not buying it was Trey Lance all along. Anybody you talk to in the NFL that has sources, they aren't buying that either. San Francisco can say it was Trey all along. That's a crock of crap. They traded up to get Mac Jones, and the outside pressure became really bad. Essentially saying the fan feedback before the NFL draft caused the 49ers to go in a different direction.
Listen, up until the point he got into it with my guy Dan Dibley, I like Lombardi, but I'm so sick and tired of this vessel that we're a part of, this medium. You got to start putting a name on it, damn it. If you're going to say something that heavy and put a name on it and tell us who those sources are, because what he's basically doing is playing tennis, saying, oh, we didn't get it wrong. Guys like me didn't get it wrong. He was standing up for Schefter, Peter King, everybody, himself. So to say something that vague and not give us another facet to the puzzle, Dibs, I can't buy that. And so I'm not condemning Shanahan and Lynch giving in to Twitter trolls, because that's basically what he's saying. You got to start putting – I'm just saying this to everybody. If you're going to say something that strong, you got to put a name on it. You can't hide no more. I don't like that. Well, I don't like hiding.
That's Herm Edwards. Put your name on it. It's one of my favorite rants that doesn't get the run it should.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's different than you play to win the game. But, Steiny, I just want to –